from my story to your story. Let's talk about grief. I will share my own grief journey, along with interviewing others about their path of sorrow and healing. I hope that you, the listener, will hear something that helps as you navigate your own grief, and that God will be glorified along the way. This content is meant as a discussion and not to give professional help. Let's get started.
Do you ever feel regret or guilt as it's related to the grief that you're carrying? I know I have. And at first, it plagued me to the point that I could not get it off my mind. It consumed me. It bothered me so badly. And that's really not God's plan for us to carry that guilt and regret around like it's a huge burden, instead of just dealing with it and then letting it go. In my case, my husband passed away after 34 years of marriage. And so you can imagine that I'm not going to look back on 34 years and not have things that I regret, both right around the time he passed and then also, you know, just our marriage in general. And one of the exercises in a book that I was reading called Good Grief by Westberg was to actually jot down what you regret or what you feel guilt over related to your grief from the person that's passed. And I'm actually going to tell you very transparently why I have guilt or regret, you know, what areas they're in, and then we'll discuss some of that. So I have if only, and then I have I made him go to the doctor. You know, Don passed away after 4 weeks of first back trouble, then going off of medicine suddenly that probably threw him all the way into complete heart failure. He had a heart history. He had had congestive heart failure 13 years prior, and his heart had strengthened. But if you've listened to the first episode, you know the circumstances where there were several times in that last week or two that I had mentioned to Don, let's go to the hospital or let's go to the doctor. And part of me has a guilt that says, you know, why didn't you try harder to get him to go? Maybe he would still be here. And then there's a part of me that says, well, that's not up to me when someone passes. And so maybe I don't really have anything to do with that. Okay, and you go back and forth to where that just plagues your mind. The second thing I wrote down, not moved furniture. That you say, what in the world are you talking about? Well, there was a point, I think it was about 2016 or so, that Don, he was going to auctions, just that was a release for him. He loved to go to auctions, bid at them, try to find deals for the church. He was a pastor. And I started going with him on Friday nights. It was a year I filled in as a principal there at our Christian school. And it was a lot of stress. And he would just say, why don't we just go out this evening, go to the auction. And it was a pretty funny date night because we'd get a hamburger or a hot dog on the side, sit there and, you know, buy things for the church. Well, then I started noticing furniture being sold ridiculously cheap prices. And I bought some and we took it home and I did some tutorials on how to paint furniture. And the distressed furniture was very in at the time, hot and heavy. So I started doing some things. I did some for our home. And then eventually it was kind of like, well, I can't keep doing furniture and just putting it everywhere. So I started selling some of it. And it became a hobby. But in that hobby, where I even ended up putting some of that furniture into spaces to sell them, like at a boutique and so forth, Don ended up going to the auction. Then we'd go back to get the furniture and he'd help haul it. Then we'd take it into our garage. He'd help me move it around. So again, more physical. Then he would help me get it into someone's car if we sold it there at the house, or he would assist me in getting it to the furniture store that I sold it at. And just a lot of physical wear and tear. And so part of me looks back and thinks, you know, when you're in congestive heart failure and then heart failure, it's different than a heart attack where you are told to get out there and really strengthen the heart. In heart failure, it's like the heart has so many beats left, and how you spend that time wears that heart out faster or not. And obviously doing some things to take strain off the heart help to increase that time. But, you know, I now have the guilt. Well, what if I didn't have that hobby? What if we didn't go move heavy furniture around? And sounds kind of silly to say it out loud, but it's really a, you know, something that plagues my mind as in the form of guilt or regret. Another thing I wrote down was fixed better, healthier meals. To explain this delicately, Don was overweight. And I'm not making fun or talking down about him. I'm overweight. But he was severely overweight, and it caused some of his health problems. And there's a part of me that goes back to early on in our marriage when life was busy and we had young children and we were in ministry. And, you know, I just threw this or that on the table and, you know, probably should have said, let's eat healthier or let's go for a walk. And I didn't confront it as he started to gain weight. And, you know, you can say, well, each person decides what they put in their mouth, or each person has to answer for all of that. And I get it. But, you know, me as the wife, as the kind of caretaker in our home, part of me goes back and says, well, what if I had done a better job in those areas? What if I had fixed healthier, more nutritious meals? What if I had researched that better and made nutritious food appealing to us? What if I had not taken the easy road on some of the food or snacks, or been more disciplined about exercise and getting out and walking and, you know, all the things. So that's another thing that goes through my mind. Another guilt that I think probably comes with anybody who loses anyone is just, did I treat that person good? Could I have treated that person better? And I know I love Don with all my heart, and I did and did and did for him in many ways, but he was that kind of person who was just selfless. I mean, it was always about everybody else. And, you know, he knew everything that was my favorite and just did, picked up things, thought about things, did things to make my life easier. He was just so good to me. So there's a part of me that thinks back over that and thinks, did I express my love well enough to him? Did I let him know how much he was dearly loved and how much he was appreciated? I know I did at times, but I think there's a natural guilt that comes after losing someone about, did I make sure they knew just how important they were to me? And another thing that I wrote down was not been distracted by the furniture business. And that relates back to ministry as a pastor's wife and involved in the Christian school. I had some guilt at times, even when he was alive, when I would say, you know, is what I'm doing with the furniture too much of a distraction from our life together and what we're doing together in the Lord's work? And I can remember Don laughing at me and saying, Sonia, people are allowed to have hobbies, you know, and you're being silly and all those kinds of things. But I'm just being transparent about something that bothers me that says in my mind, you know, is there anything about Don being taken when he was taken that relates to me as his wife just not being was I not as focused as I should have been on our ministry and a support to him? So I laid those out for you. Don't get caught up on those. Just get caught up on what are yours. I mean, think in your head and list what they were, what they are, what your guilt or your regret is in your life related to the person you lost or something that came into your life. You know, I also had a miscarriage, and you can at a time like that say, well, what did I do wrong that I miscarried a child? You know, is there something in my life God took this child, or did I do something physically wrong? Was I irresponsible? There's so many things, reasons, different kinds of grief that you can have some sort of guilt that you blame yourself for the happenings. And you say, well, how did you do that? Did you just finally say, oh, the reality is, you know, you're not in control and God is, and so you shouldn't have any guilt or regret? No, I didn't quite come to that conclusion. What I will say is that I had to face and acknowledge anything that I felt guilty over. It bothered me so badly. And I finally came to a realization, I'm not really going to have an answer here on this earth, in the sense that God is not physically going to sit down across the table from me and say, you were wrong in this, but you weren't wrong in this. So I laid it out before God. I wrote it down. I laid it out like I'm laying it at an altar. And I just said, I am sorry about this if this was sin or wrong. I'm sorry about this if it was sin or wrong. I'm sorry about this if it was sin or wrong. You know, if I was too distracted in ministry with the furniture stuff, if I made him move the furniture around and it was physically too hard on him, if I was irresponsible and not having healthy meals and going on walks and encouraging him in that area, although, you know, I'll answer that in a minute. So then I had to just pray, Lord, these are the things I'm struggling with. These are the regrets that I have. This is the guilt that I feel. And so I'm asking you to forgive me. Any and all of this that was sin, any and all of this that was neglect, I want you to forgive me. That's all I know to do is lay it at your feet. I cannot undo it. And I had to face some realities. Okay. Reality is you can't go back and take away the things you've done, whether they were they're in your mind as like a neurotic guilt where you're making them bigger than they really were, or you're saying you have more control of the situation than you really do, or whether it's just plain guilt because you were negligent in something, or you didn't do something right, or you wish you had done something differently. Whichever kind of guilt, it doesn't really matter. You're going to have both kinds of guilt, I think, in grief. But whichever kind of guilt, it's just coming to the place where you say, Lord, I'm laying this all at your feet. And whatever was wrong about what I did, I'm asking your forgiveness. I'm mentioning bring them to God. I'm going to read some verses. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, the Bible says, come to him. So that's what I would first say is lay it all out before God. I would verbalize it or write it down so that you're not just pushing it back in your mind. Because that's what I did for the first few months was just every time it came to mind, I'd cry about it. I'd feel guilty over it. I'd carry the weight of it, or I would push it all the way in the back of my mind. So I'm saying that for me, I had to just write it down, lay it out on the altar, bring it before God, and say, I would like forgiveness for this. In Psalm 51, 1-3, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. So I had to come to the place where I just said, any of this that is sin, I want your forgiveness. I want to make this right with you. I want to have a clean slate on this. I don't want to carry this burden forever. And I will say that God does not want you to carry this burden forever. In Hebrews 8:12, the Bible says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. In Micah 6:19, the Bible says, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. You know, man has not found the bottom of the deepest parts of the ocean. Nope. That's how far God says he's removed your sins. He wants us to get the picture that they are so far away that you cannot reach them. When you have accepted Christ as your Savior and asked him into your heart to save you, and you have repented of sin and given that to him, we still live in the sinful world and a sinful body. So we are going to have regrets. It's unavoidable. But God says, especially if the regrets and shame and guilt from sin, give them to me because I'm putting them in the depths of the sea. In other words, they're not reachable again. If God puts them out of sight and out of mind, then he wants you to also. He does not want you to carry the burden of your sin. Jesus Christ did that for you on the cross already. So when you bring that to him and you give it to him, and then you go back down and try to grab that sin and guilt and shame and carry it with you, it's like you're drowning. You know, just as much as we would laugh and say, you're going to dive down to the bottom of the ocean and try to pick up your sin and carry it again. It's not possible. You're going to drown and drown and drown. That's exactly what you're going to do to yourself if you try to carry the weight of your sin, your shame, or your guilt as related to grief. Really anything in life, but especially related to grief. Then I would also say to deal more with the neurotic side of guilt. That's when you have guilt beyond really the control that you think you had. For example, someone was in the hospital and you stayed with them around the clock, and then you went home and the hours that you went home are when that person passed. Or you were keeping care of a loved one in your home and went to the other end of the house, and when you came back, that's when they passed. Or like I said, things like a miscarriage, you were doing all the things that you should be, and yet you kind of put it in your ballpark that it must have been something you've done. So there are, and you can apply it to whatever area of grief we're talking about in your life. Just turn it back and talk to yourself about this. But we need to admit that God is sovereign. Things are in His control. And so a lot of times we give ourselves more credit than we deserve that the situation was up to us. When I go back and apply that to some of these things that I have guilt over concerning Don, you know, I don't know that I could have made him go to the doctor. I cannot physically make him get up and go. And to be truthful, I don't even know if we had gone back to the hospital or back to a doctor soon enough that they could have saved Don's life. In fact, his heart doctor said, he's a Christian, and he called me the day after Don passed. And he said, Sonia, I want you to understand something. God in His mercy took Don when He did, because I see people who start into heart failure that we put in the hospital and we save their life in that moment. God allows it. And then for a year, they are in and out of the hospital while their heart slowly dies. So, I mean, I know he was just trying to be encouraging in that it was a merciful death and that Don did not suffer. And I do look back on that and think, you know, he didn't suffer. He died instantly. He went right from one moment talking to us straight into glory. And so that in some ways has become a comfort to me. So what I'm saying is you also have to look at what your regrets and your guilt is over and make sure that you're not giving yourself more credit that it was in your control than it really is or was. So another thing, I talked about the furniture. I don't know how many minutes that may or may not have taken off his life for him to do that hefty work for me. And, you know, when I look at other people's lives who are in ministry, I don't think it's awful if they have a hobby. So why am I beating myself up over mine? And then I go back, you know, to the healthier meals, and you can say, well, that was up to Don what he ate. And I also remember Don did do some things too. He did different diets and eating plans and all, you know, several things to try to bring his weight down and to get that under control. So he did make efforts in that area. So sometimes our guilt and our shame or our regret is because we are giving ourselves too much credit that things are in our control and we're really not admitting that God is sovereign. And like anything in life, I personally, for me, just think balance is the key. There are some things that no one else is going to convince you that you were not wrong in what you did. And you should admit that, and you should confess it to God and ask His forgiveness and leave it with Him in the depths of the sea. But then you should also remember, on the other hand, that everything's not up to you. God may have taken Don at that exact moment in his life, no matter what health he was in, no matter what weight he was. You know, I remind myself, I see people out there who make it into their 70s or 80s that have dealt with weight their entire life. So sometimes we just assume too much on our own is how I should sum that up. So forgive yourself as God has forgiven you and let it go. And that doesn't mean it won't revisit you, and you may have to do this again a couple of times where you revisit that guilt. Why do you feel guilty? Why do you feel shame? Why do you feel regret? Remind yourself that it's under the blood. If it was actually sin, give it to the Lord. And then I would retrain your mind to dwell on good memories. You know, this is a little bit unrelated to the guilt, but I'm going to just go ahead and tell you this scenario. When Don passed away, I followed along. My son drove me near the ambulance to the hospital where they were going to try to revive him. And thereafter, every time I hear an ambulance, my mind just tries to relive that whole, you know, him actually passing in front of me. And At first there's something that just lets your mind go there, but then there came a place where I just thought, you know, I can't relive this every time I'm near an ambulance. And I'm not being unfaithful to Don or unfaithful to his memory to let this scene go out of my mind. And I immediately just started doing this thing where when I would hear an ambulance and my mind would go there, I would just say no. You know, basically like the Bible verse where you're bringing your thoughts captive, and I would just pick out a good memory of Don, something funny, something loving, something sweet, and I would bring that memory into my mind and dwell on that for a minute until the ambulance and the bad thoughts flooding my mind would kind of pass by. So some of the regret and the guilt and the shame that you have, you can retrain your brain to, when those thoughts keep coming back into your mind, to say, now, wait a minute. I know about the love that this person and I had. I remember these wonderful experiences and wonderful times. And I remember all the I love yous and just, you know, the precious moments that we had together. If you have to, get out photo albums, go on your phone and look at pictures, go through videos, whatever you have to do to retrain your brain to not let it go and sit in the depths of replaying regret and guilt and shame. And then another thing I would mention is your person is not spending time on this. You know, my baby that left this world after a miscarriage is not in heaven thinking, oh, wonder if my mom did something wrong while she was carrying me. No, it's not. That's not what's happening in heaven, according to the Word of God. Don, my husband that passed away after 34 years of marriage, is not in heaven replaying every argument or ill word that we had, or even saying, man, if she had taken me to the doctor fast enough, maybe I'd still be there. No, that's not what's happening in heaven. So let yourself understand that this is like a self-inflicted wound at this point. If you're hanging on to the regret and the shame and the guilt, you're carrying this burden needlessly, because God has said, I've removed it and put it in the depths of the sea. And your person that you lost, or whatever your situation is, they're not losing any sleep over it. So why are you? I know that sounds a little too easy, but it is. So I would add right here, let's live the life we have left here on earth to the fullest. There is no way possible you and I are not going to have regrets. We're going to fail. We're going to have things we're ashamed of. We are going to have guilt. But let's take it to the Lord. Let's leave it with Him. And let's learn from our mistakes. Let's make sure that we don't part from each other with ill words left between us. Let's get those things right before we go to bed or when we say goodbye to each other. Let's make sure that we're focusing on people and investing in the people around us and spending time with them and making memories with them, instead of things being more important than the persons God has put in our life. I hope today that if you're carrying the heavy burden of regret or guilt, especially related to the grief of losing someone or having some grief from a situation in your life, that you will figure out how to unpack that. I know that from the Word of God, God does not want you to carry this heavy burden. He wants you to give it to Him. He'll forgive whatever it is you've done that was a sin or a failure or an omission, maybe something you should have done that you did not do. I don't know what it is in your life. Only you do. But God does. And He will forgive you. He loves you. He wants to extend His mercy. He does not want Satan to have victory in your life, where you carry this around as a heavy load and where you're miserable from it. He wants you to give it to Him and leave it there in the depth of the ocean. Please don't dive back down to pick it up.
We appreciate you joining us today at Speak Your Grief with Sonia.
At Speak Your Grief with Sonia.
Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube, as new episodes are added weekly. Thank you again for joining us as we unpack our grief. We hope you have been reminded that you are not alone in this journey.